Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It would be a waltz, but eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Flat in the shot. What a goal!
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Wolves Fancast, part of the Audi Network. Rich Hobbs here today, and joining me, I've got Josh and Tom. And I feel it's going to be a bit of a rant cast tonight, isn't it? I tell you what, can you imagine if they'd announced the season ticket prices today?
That bloke basically did.
I am just like, it could have been full on Chernobyl Wolves today if we weren't careful. Because I don't know, like, I wouldn't go as far as saying it was toxic around Molineux yesterday, but just the despondency of it all, and like the fact that, you know, we're all still feeling a bit apathetic to the situation, like, you know, 24 hours on. I know VAR's absolutely kicked the bollocks out of Wolves this season. I feel like four games to go, and it's like, how do you keep doing it to us?
Yeah,
you always think it's going to be the last one, don't you? And then it's the gift that keeps on giving.
And the next one seems to always get worse. You think, right? Yeah. This is the bottom, and then it gets worse. You're like, what the hell?
You'd have said to me like 2 weeks ago, look, subjective offside is the second worst thing you're going to see this season. I don't think I'd believe you. But look, before we talk about obviously the Luton game, sorry, Bournemouth game even, and the Luton game that's happening, I'm already looking ahead. Let's talk about an even more important game that's coming up. As we've highlighted previously, we have got our next charity football match. We do it every year or so, raising money for Mind. This year it's a Fancast team versus the Upload United, which is a mix of other content creators of different clubs, different platforms as well. As I said, it is to raise money for Mind. I've put just giving link on the page, so feel free to donate if you can do. And I'll also put the link in the description of the video as well for anyone who's listening as a pod. I know both of you two are playing in it. Are you looking forward to it? Like, you're not looking forward to playing it more than you. Are you feeling fit enough? I think is the biggest question.
I think me and Dean are on a big, like, 6 week, like, bust our balls every night at goals. Every Friday night, we bust our balls at goals now. Because I remember last time I was saying, like, I didn't appreciate how big the pitch was. I was like,
it's unbelievable. Yeah. Until you're on it, you don't realise. Like, I've never criticised a player for not running again. It was hard work.
Yeah. I mean, Tom, you say that. We've got to talk about Sarabia in about 3 minutes' time.
Christ. Yeah.
I feel sorry for poor Dean. All I'm going to see is just him running beyond and say, right, stick it in beyond somewhere. He's going to have to chase after it. Make it a little
running. Big thanks to everyone who's tuning in, of course, live or watching back on YouTube or listening as a podcast. Dean, who you've just mentioned, said, nice to see you've got your answer to KDB and Haaland on the show. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great occasion. The game itself is on Friday the 24th of May, so we've got about a month or so to see if we can raise some money for a good cause. But it should be a good laugh along the way. I know sort of there's a few interesting players on the opposition as well. Right, let's get into it. Let's talk about it, because it wasn't fun. It weren't pretty. I mean, starting lineup, there was four changes from from the Arsenal match. Semedo and Ait Nouri came in, Lamina and Sabio also. And you look at it on paper, and I understood sort of what was happening a bit more. But, you know, less of, I guess, those players. But when we started, it seemed very much more of like a back four. I don't know, Gully would say, yeah, we were always quite fluid, but it seemed very sort of a notable that it was a back four. And Totti at left back yesterday. I mean, Josh, what do you sort of think of the kind of bit of a shift in formation?
God, it was a frigging shambles, war it, that first half. Let's get into it.
It was
shambles, is being quite kind. I don't know what it is, but whether it's between, obviously the players just aren't good enough to play a back four, because we tried it against Fulham, didn't we? And we nearly got bummed by them. But then Neto went off injured and he brought Totti on and played like a back, he went back to five. But it's just, yesterday it was a shambolic. It felt like every time they come forward, Bournemouth looked like the score. If it wasn't for Sarr, we'd have been 5-0 game, wouldn't we, at half time? You know, he absolutely saved us in that first half. And it's just spaces for me. They don't know how to defend the space. It's like we're either way too tight, so there's like no cover outside us, or with that far apart, it's like they run straight through us. They didn't know what to do when they had the ball at the back. It was a shambolic. That first half was shambolic.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like pretty much from the off, we just weren't at the races, were we, Tom?
No, not at all. I don't think it's even just the back four, playing back four. It's three centre mids. It hasn't worked all season. When one of them sort of drifted into that hybrid role, it's been a little bit better. But those three on the pitch did not work together, unfortunately. And they're all good players. But we can't play those three in centre mid again this season, just like we can't play a back four. And I think you're absolutely right there, Joshua, about they can't fight, that, you know, they didn't fill the spaces. There was one move, I remember, where it literally just got passed along our back line and they all got dragged by an extra man. And I can't remember who it was, back stick. Then Sarr made a brilliant save. I think that was still at 0-0.
Is that the one where he like rolled it behind him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're all on the man. They shouldn't have been. They all shuffled along one. And then there was just a man at the back post doing absolutely just, you know, completely free.
It's like we're allergic to like defending a back four. We have been for years. Mm-hmm. Like, we tried it under Nuno. We had the same issues, spaces. Under Lopetegui, he basically said to Kilman and Dawson, sit on the penalty spot and do nothing but head that ball out. But you try and play a little bit more expansive and it's like it just all falls apart again.
Yeah. And it's like players like Kilman who, hey, I know Curve, he can divide opinions, but he's a competent centre-half most of the time. You put him in a back three and he looks solid. There are points when you put him in a back four, he looks solid, but he just looks that bit more exposed, doesn't he? And it's just whether it's the defenders or the midfield in front of them, just don't quite know how to operate as a cohesive unit, do they?
No, not at all. I don't know if it's anything that can be coached over the summer. I don't know. But again, I don't think it's a coincidence that Semedo had his worst half of the season when he was in a four as well. He was awful for the first half, and I'm a big fan of Semedo, but he was really poor. Kilman needs an extra body beside him. I don't know if it's something that they can coach into it, but I don't see why we should change it anyway. It's been successful for us since we've been in the Premier League. So if it works, I don't know why we're pissing about and trying to change it all the time.
This literally feels like we jumped back 2 years and it's like Bruno Large again. We're going on the same shitty run of form. We haven't backed the manager. And like, I feel like we've gone back 2 years. It's like the players don't know how to defend in a four. It's just that you get such deja vu having this conversation right now because it's the exact same as it was 2 years ago.
Yeah. In fact, we're running out of steam. Well, running ran out of steam, basically.
Yeah.
Like, we just... I know the injuries haven't helped us, and you know the fact that we're bringing on, you know, Kuna, who's a half fit sort of thing. You need to end your season on a good note. Like it's not like it just finishes in mid May. You carry it through with you. If the fans carry it through, like. We've gone from a position where we've been looking at, oh, actually, we can probably get a solid 10th place to realistically, people are saying Wolves aren't going to win another game this season. And, you know, we could fall as what? We could fall to 13th, maybe 14th, I think it is technically. Like, Palace have sort of shot back up there. We're playing them soon as well. It all of a sudden just, you know, no threat of relegation, but it's felt like as soon as we've hit that 40-point mark, and it's coincided with, you know, injuries, we have just not been able to find another gear in this team. And I don't, as I say, I don't know how much you pin on O'Neill, because he's got a tough hand to play in terms of actually putting together a cohesive team week in, week out. But I don't quite get why they didn't just go for the tried and tested back five, because that's not the thing that's been letting us down ultimately. And the change didn't make us any more attacking either.
I worry if that's what the plan is for the summer. The thing is, you can't see the personnel being too much different, can you, really? Like, that kind of four that was at the back yesterday and the keeper is probably going to be the same thing we're playing next season. And we're getting, I mean, that one, I think it was partway through the first half when Totti and Kilman both went for the same ball. You're like, what is going on? This is your captain. This is, I've been a big Kilman fan this season, but that was like, what is actually happening to us?
It's schoolboy. Yeah. The problem with that is you've got to set your stall out in pre-season. What you're going to do, because you've got to recruit for how you're going to play, really. And for me, I wouldn't trust Totti in the back four. We've seen that Kilman, I don't think, can be trusted in the back four. Dawson will get exposed like a motherfucker in a back four. And you lose eight. If we're lucky enough to keep eight Nouri, I don't think he can be a left back in the back four, because how much you're going to lose from him going forward. So I think you've just got to stick with 3/5. Otherwise, you're recruiting out the whole new back line, pretty much.
Yeah. I think it's almost systemic at Wolves, isn't it? As you said, like, we're so used to being in a back five, and the players that we've got, like, we basically need to replace the entire unit to make it work at this point. And, you know, that's not even to say making sure your midfielders can do the extra bit of protection. And I'm saying that, like, we don't have João Gomes and Mario Lemina, who are somewhat more defensive anyway. I was really surprised he didn't change things early, because it was very apparent after about 15, 20 minutes that we were struggling. And but I almost thought, like, and Bournemouth are not a bad team, or evidently, they're above us in the table now. But it felt like if we were against like a good team, like a top, if that was against Newcastle, for example, we'd have been 3-0 down after 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we conceded more chances in the first, like, 10, 15 minutes against Bournemouth than we did in the whole game against Arsenal.
Yeah.
Or Saras off day yesterday, then we're, like, 4-0 down at half-time. And that's not an exaggeration either, is it? Like, literally, he kept us in that game.
Yeah. 100%. He's the only one in that first half who came out with any credit for me. Like, the rest of them, you could have dragged them all off.
And also, I think, last couple of weeks, I think maybe Sarr isn't the problem. He's got a mistake in him, but he's like a 6 million quid keeper. He's going to have a mistake in him. But you look now and you think, how much is he like, is it more the defensive front of him that, you know, he must have no confidence in what's in front of him? Because when's the last time we kept a clean sheet? I was trying to think about this earlier. When was the last Premier League game we kept a clean sheet?
Probably against Sheffield United, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The February, that league. Was. Yeah. Then before that, it'd be like Everton.
record bottom Sheffield United, in it. It's, you know, it's just shocking, isn't it? And, you know, part of it is potentially the miss of Dawson. Though we had Matt Bradley in the YouTube comments saying, I don't think the centre-back pairing that doesn't include Dawson. I mean, I'm fairly critical of Dawson, and I don't think you can play Craig Dawson with any of those players in the back four at this point and him not feeling exposed, particularly if Gary O'Neill wants to play a little bit more expansive. But again, I don't think it's a coincidence we're conceding sloppy goals without a back five and without Dawson in it either. But it's it is just the little things. Like, I don't think we concede the goal against Notts Forest with Dawson in that team. I think he gives everyone that extra bit of reassurance, and part of it's almost like Tossi, Kilman, Bueno are all good defenders, but it's just that extra little bit of grit, or almost the intangibles that just can make, the perception of Craig Dawson is better than Craig Dawson himself for me. And it just makes, but that presence and that experience, if it just makes someone like Kilman not have those momentary slip-ups, or just means, Toti Gomez, actually, if he is 5 yards in the wrong position, he's got a slightly more, just a bit more experienced player to sweep up under him and it not get exposed. Whereas, like yesterday, it just felt that no one quite knew where they wanted to be. If they were slightly out of position, you gave the example earlier where everyone kind of shifted along one, like they were expecting someone else at the back post to cover it, and we'd run out of players.
Yeah. I do question a little bit as well, because I question from the start, why are you trying to like reinvent the wheel when you've got a game? You played Arsenal the other day, so you got what, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and you're trying to reinvent the wheel playing four at the back, which is not worked for us once this season. Like, what was the thought behind that, really? Like, you could say limited in players, but you've got fucking five defenders starting anyway. So, what was the idea behind trying to do that? Because you just knew, when we played Bournemouth, we started in five at the back, didn't we? So, what was the gain by trying to play that with 3 days, Unless we're gonna try for the rest of the season, then we're gonna go and play Luton, doing the same thing. Yeah, I guess you can.
We've got it, haven't we? Because we've got no fucking centre halves now.
No,
Gwen, I was
interested. So unless you're playing Dock at centre half, you've got no choice. That's depressing.
Yeah. I'm sure as a 16-year-old who's would have just finished his double science exam, you can step in. Yeah. You'll be fine. But you're right. I know, kind of on paper, Wolves weren't necessarily great against Arsenal in terms of shot creation. We're against top of the league. We're never, but everyone came away after that Arsenal game positive and proud that we'd gone toe-to-toe with them. And yeah, we'd lost 2-0. But actually, we held our own throughout most parts of it. And it just felt like if we'd had our strikers, we'd have really challenged Arsenal. And then to kind of go, actually, you know what? Hang's back. Great. Sarabia, we could have put Sarabia. And, basically played with players who were there, available from the start. But actually keep it as that back five. Maybe you play Doyle on that left wing position where he looked quite good the other week. But
you put Bueno in at left back and then move out Nori further up as well.
Yeah.
That would put us right against West Ham.
Yeah, there were options available. So I do find it perplexing. And, looking at the goal itself, just it was so telegraphed that it just felt, you could just feel like they're going to score at some point here. We are just chancing our luck. And I know there was like a point where they had like a spell of pressure, and all of a sudden Wolves went up the other end and won a corner. And I thought, hang on, all right, we've had our 25 minutes here. Let's go. But, the goal itself, just defenders not concentrating. Kilman just dangling out a leg. Just silly things that it's going to be insulting to Sheffield United. I don't really care. But it's like a sort of goal that you'd expect someone bottom of the league on their way out to concede.
Yeah, the frustrating thing about that was almost, we sort of weathered the storm to a certain extent. It wasn't like absolute all-out attack from Bournemouth. Like, it was pretty much the rest of the half. It seemed like we rode it out and I was just praying for half-time. Another defensive shit show, basically, just costing us as well. I actually think Kilman was the only one who was playing quite well. Well, I say quite well, like, okay. until that point. I think he made a couple of good blocks and he was clearing quite a few balls at the from crosses and things. And then Daniel's just a really weak leg and that was it.
It's just so half-arsed, wasn't it, really? Like, the defending for that goal. And then, like you say, Kilman, I agree. I thought he was actually having a decent little game, especially against Solanke, because he was, Solanke is a great player. But it's just such a sloppy goal to concede. And it feels like some of that, if Dawson's there, you wouldn't have conceded. You know, it's like, it just smacks of, like, desperation, like, almost tiredness, and, like, just couldn't be arsed with it. Like, oh, full straight to him, and that's it. That's all it feels like. It's just, I think the players are knackered both physically and mentally, and then it's just wearing off on the fans as well at the same time.
Yeah, and you know, going in 1-0 at half time, just it felt deserved, and it was such like an odd feeling. To against a team who we should be more than challenging. And, you know, second half, you know, comes about. And again, we're still struggling with second half to start with. It took us a minute to kind of really find our gear. And I guess it didn't really change too much until Mateus Kuna came on. And I think, as we've sort of said before, that obviously he is, you know, leaps and bounds our most creative player, and he's going to really impact the team. But, you know, he comes on for, you know, Tommy Doyle. And he just gives us that extra bit of fluidity going forward all of a sudden, I guess.
Yeah. Although even he gave the ball away first, really touchy.
Yeah.
It's like bloody hell. We were slightly better. But again, we should have probably conceded another couple by that point, really. Are we going to talk about how shit Sarabia was, or are we just going to
pretend
that never happened?
No, I.
I don't think it was good, was it?
People who listen to the show regularly must think I kind of change my opinion on Sarabia on a weekly basis, but it's him who's doing it to me. I don't think it's too much to expect, but when you got players out injured and he's like been our own like ever fit striker or forward player, and just expect him to just do that bit more to carry the weight of a team and to, you know, take a bit of accountability, take a bit of ownership. And it's similar to the Dawson, just such weak willed pissing around bollocks.
100%. If he pulls out of another tackle, I'm gonna go mad. He gives it the big one all game, like chirping and stuff. He got tried to get the fans up at one point, which I'm usually a fan of, but I'm like, you can't be doing that, mate, because until you start like putting your weight around a bit, you can like get bent, like talking about us fans getting behind you. He's not got the physicality for the Premier League. Like, he's not quick, he's not strong, but you can still put a challenge in and mean it. And he runs around a little bit, but I mean, bloody hell. I don't know if it was on the group, someone put, he's like the anti-Trey Array usually, so he's awful all game, but then when you need him to put in a cross or, put in like a really, a really good set piece or something like that, he's always there. Whereas Traore's all-round game wasn't that bad, but then getting to put anything around the box and he's awful. So he's like the opposite of Traore, but he's not even doing that. No, he couldn't even his set pieces were crap yesterday. So he literally, he may as well not have been on the pitch.
Yeah, and I don't think, you can't, we joked about when we were talking about a charity match, that, I won't ever criticise a player for, not running. But when the chips are down and it must be sort of so apparent playing in it, let alone watching it, how you're getting overrun, and just make sure you're keeping the fans on side, to making sure that, they're showing that they're trying to make a difference. And he just seemed almost reluctant in a way to, I'm not saying he needs to foul anyone, but you say, don't be backing out of tackles. Make life difficult for Bournemouth. And we just didn't. Bournemouth seemed energetic. They seemed, so much more wanting. And when you kind of just not really pressurizing them to make a difference, it's so noticeable. And it's so noticeable when someone like Sarabia does it as well.
Especially when he's part of that, like, leadership group bollocks, and he's can't even be asked to, like, put a fucking tackle in. He did it against Burnley. I think it was, there was one where, like, he was in behind the keeper. He was in behind. And, like, he kind of shit-assed the tackle on the keeper. Like, you thought the keeper clatters you there, you get a red card and bonus. But I don't know. He's one of them. He didn't have a good game, did he? But then again, no one did. But, like, he's just so, he's like the talisman, isn't he? Like, he's such a, he's like the talisman when the players aren't there that we've got. You know, Huang's not going to fucking carry us on his own, is he? So you think you need the man you want to, like, carry us through it. And then he just does that yesterday, and it was just like, you know, kicking a ball against, like, the advertising. You feel like, him, mate, you've been shit. Like, who do you think you are?
Yeah. He's playing his way. It's a shame. He obviously was pretty poor when he first signed. Then he really got found, like, a rich vein of form. But he's just petering out, like, terribly now.
As commonly said on Twitter, he needs to learn Arabic. Come this summer, send him to Saudi.
Get your bank. But, I mean, someone who I think was probably fairly undeserviably dropped was Boubacar Traoré, who came on just after the hour mark. And I guess actually probably him maybe more than Cunha in terms of, like, having an impact in the game, because he is someone who isn't afraid to put his foot through. And I love him because he just loves tackling. Does he look a bit rough around the edges? Yes. It's very clear someone who's actually quite a good baller in there. Yes. And I just love that mix. And just, you know, he is just like that bit more physical, maybe a more athletic version of, like, someone like Lamina, but he is just like a little bit more everywhere. But as I said, when you're being crap, bringing someone like that on who's really going to, you know, get put the cat amongst the pigeons, and he got the fans, like, really going in terms of sort of what he was doing. And, you know, he's had a tricky season this year, because I don't think he's necessarily a Gary O'Neill player, but I think he's sort of quietly getting himself in the conversation more, and hopefully with a good pre-season behind him, we've got a really kind of good quartet of midfield options next season.
Yeah, I'd say so. Just brought energy. That's all you wanted to see last night, really. You just wanted to see someone who actually looked like they gave a shit. So if nothing, you know, he's not technically gifted footballer, let's face it. But, you know, to stick in the middle to cause a bit of chaos when things aren't going right, I'm all for it. Why not? And his profile is very different, I think, to the other three. So I think sometimes you need that, you know, in a team, you don't want a little sign type of players, because, you know, horses for courses in different games. But yeah, again, he was one of the only decent performers again last night. So, and you can say that against Arsenal. I think he was quite unlucky to be out of the team. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if we saw him on, if we saw him on Saturday, because, I mean, the other three look beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
look what happens when a player's not knackered, though. Like, yeah, you know, he quite clearly mentally and physically not knackered, and look how, like, the difference it makes. But I think credit where it's due to O'Neill. Like, I guess technically it didn't make a difference, but I thought all his subs kind of come on and all did really well. Like, I thought Doherty had quite a good game, to be fair, when he come on. And, like, Traoré, I thought, was really, really promising. You'd start him out with Fabio Saturday, wouldn't you, I think?
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, he looked really bright. And he actually looked someone who could play in between the lines a bit more. You know, I was quite impressed with him. And I've got to say, credit to SG, for a bloke who doesn't do, he's not known for his technical ability, how good is that pass to Kilman for the offside goal?
Yeah.
That was a very good pass through the defenders. Yeah. Like, so I thought, like, again, he's got to start Saturday. I think you've seen a couple of players there who've definitely made cases to get in the first team for Saturday.
I'd be really tempted to play him, particularly kind of, I guess, how Luton operate as well. I think having a player who is you know, a bit more physical, I think would really benefit. And also the fact that all those midfielders look knackered. And even when you've got like Lamina, who, you know, didn't start on Saturday against Arsenal, something like João Gomes, just give him a bit of a break. Let someone else have a go. I mean, I guess we probably need to talk about the vicious assault for Mateus Cunha, don't we now?
Oh, I completely forgot about that. Did that?
Oh, yeah, that we did actually score a goal, Tom.
All right, brilliant.
Yeah.
That was good.
A really good goal, actually. which makes it a bit all the more harder, doesn't it? Because, amazing ball from Semedo. Great bit of movement from Wang. He slips off his marker. Power header, brilliant. We looked a bit better. We got our goal. 25 minutes to go. Life's looking rosy at Wolves. And then it's almost like it just comes creeping up behind you, doesn't it? And it's like, wait, why are they not starting? And it's VAR check. Well, swim across and there are people in the box. How's it going to be offside? And, you know, you see the car for high up angle. Maybe. It ends up, no foul given. Yellow card, Cunha. It's like, fucking what?
Yeah, excuse me.
I don't get it. I simply don't. I don't want to go on a whole VAR rant necessarily, but this is a bizarre one for me because he doesn't actually make contact with him. I don't quite know what he's trying to do, Cunha. Because I think if you look at stills, and you know, even that one's a dodgy one, I don't quite know what he's trying to do with his arms, but apart from like Kluivert's pushed him. So I don't know whether he's trying to like roll him away. But he's clearly not actually made any level of contact with him. Because if he had, he'd be rolling on the floor. Sorry. Like, it's really simple. I don't, I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter. It's like, well, he's clearly caught him. It's like, no, he fucking hasn't. Like, you're telling me any professional footballer, if they're swinging an arm like that, and if they make any contact with, like, I've seen players get brushed by a fingertip on the nose and go down in agony. If he's made contact with Kluivert, like, fair enough. But no, I'm not having it.
The game's just fucking gone, isn't it? It is fucking gone. Like, it's just... anytime I see the VAR check come up for Wolves, I just automatically assume it's going to negatively impact Wolves one way or another. Like, you literally just accept it at this point. But it's just... I can't believe it. Like... You're in the stadium, you're thinking, right, I said to my mates, the only thing they could be checking is Wang has pushed the centre-half. I thought, there's no way a centre-half give Wang that much space in the box. And then you just... It's just speechless, like, how did that goal not stand? You could probably go back, look through every goal this season, and you could probably find cases or something similar in, I'd say, 25% of the goals. And they don't overrule it. It's always Wolves who suffer from it. Always Wolves.
I mean, it was one of those ones where everyone's looked at each other going, what on earth? And that's part of the problem as well, because the last person to know about what's going on is the fan in the stand. The live game is, it's dying. It's really depressing to say, but I'm not sure I enjoy the live game anymore, because you can't celebrate a goal anymore. You just can't. The goal will go in, and then you're watching a screen for 3 minutes waiting to see if it's a goal. It's like fucking CFAX. It's like going back like 15 years and you're waiting for that little ticker to go over in the corner to see if your team scored or not. It's absolutely unbelievable, and it makes me not enjoy live football, and that's really depressing. Like, I was so apathetic for the rest of that game. Like, I didn't really, I didn't really react to the red card.
I just wanted to walk out.
I couldn't have cared less almost. It was really weird. I've never had that in a game before. I just think, what's the point? Like, literally, what's the point? Can't be asked.
What was like for me as well, it was what it feels like as the match going fanny pays money. What is the point in going? What is the point in going? If I'd have stayed at home and watched that on Ted last night, I would have saw what they was looking at. But there's no communication. It says fell. You're like, okay, so what are we looking for here? It has killed the game. And what does my head in is I could accept, like, if it swung in roundabouts, but it just doesn't. We've had 5 years of this in the Premier League now, and it's always us getting done over by some magic new rule or just getting done over in some way with it. You know, I read something like someone said we had about 10 decisions go our way, and I can only think of Johnny at Southampton and overturn that win in our favour. I can't think of nothing else.
There aren't many.
No, like, an actual VAR. I was going to say, like, an actual VAR one. I can't think of one. The only one, like, Huang potentially should have got sent off against Man City. That's the only one I can think of. But that isn't a VAR decision. We've not had one of these penalties where it's been like, well, actually, you say like, or we've had one kind of pulled out of nowhere. And even the West Ham match, like the push on Semedo. I mean, like, you compare that to this, and it's light and day.
It's the Forest one, that was, wasn't it? Yeah. The problem you've got with VAR literally is the same referee who 3 days before didn't think there were any errors in those three decisions.
Yeah.
For Forest for Forest against Everton, so he doesn't think any of those three are errors where he needs to get involved in. But 3 days later, he thinks that is an obvious error that needs to be rectified on the pitch. That's your problem. Where on earth is the consistency? And I'd be amazed if I found any fan who thought that the decision last night was more of an issue than the three that happened on Sunday when he was the VAR ref for Everton, Forest. It beggars belief. And if it's violent conduct, why isn't he sent off?
Yeah. That's perfect, that is. Michael Burrows made a good point, to be fair to him. He said something like, the goal should have stood anyway, but they should have sent Cunha off. If they think it's a foul, it's a violent conduct, he should... Look, the way he worded it, I thought, was actually really good. I'll send it to you. Because, like you, like I say, he said something like, the goal should stand anyway. They should just be looking to send Cunha off, not overturn the goal for a foul. And I was like, it's spot on. It's just... Utter bullshit for me. And it's so hard. I don't want to get sacked because I'm just like, we're playing for nothing. The owners don't give a shit about us. The owners are the reason the season fell apart. You've got VAR on top of that to not even give you a reprieve. You know, and it's just like, when is it going to go in our favour? Like, once you think of the amount, with that, it took at least 10 points off us this season, at least 10 points, plus a potential FA Cup semi-final. It's just what has happened to football? What has happened to the beautiful game?
You're absolutely right, mate. It's so depressing. There's so much. I know, and at some of it, you know, you could argue probably reactionary, but there's a lot of people who I know just that they don't go to live games anymore for that reason. The joy is just gone from the game completely. Like you can't enjoy a goal anymore. It's really sad. I've got to a point now. No, that's it. It's got to the point now where I don't actually care if it's the right decision anymore. I don't actually care. I just want to know whatever happens at that time is done. Like, you used to, the ball hit the back of the net, you used to have a little look at the linesman, and that was it.
Yeah.
You go mad, you jump on the guy next to you you've never even met before. Whereas, so I don't care anymore if it's right. I just want the game back how it was. They've absolutely killed it.
The thing is, look what happened. The best game this season, obviously because we won, would be West Brom way, but because he was so involved in the emotion of the game, and like the amount of times, like there was an appeal for like handball, and the referee waved away no, and you thought, "Fuck me, we've got to have a 10-minute check on this now." That's it. Referee's decision's following up. The referee's refereed the game here, and it's like, and not the Cunha goal. You know, you think, "Oh, maybe offside. No offside flag. Let's go out shit." if that would have been with VAR, it'd be going well. I tell you, and the thing is, they'll try and find a way. Like that Kilman one yesterday, it's bullshit. They'll find any way possible to take goals off. Like the Coventry goal the other day, they'll just find any way to take goals off. And last season, they tried to send us down with the shit refereeing, and they didn't get away with it. And this season, they stopped us getting Europe with shit refereeing. And it's just fed up.
I find it fascinating with VAR and the additional support. I was in favour of it, and I'm kind of in favour of the principle behind it. Just the job's worthiness of it, the pedantic nature of what can we do to ensure this isn't a goal. And the whole point around football is to score goals. So it should be the opposite. The mindset is just completely framed wrong, in my opinion, to have it, well, actually, should this be a goal kind of thing? And you look at it and nothing in terms of what Kuhn did impacted that goal. But and Mikey Bowes is right. I agree. Like, if you think what Kuhn has done is, effectively try and injure another player, violent conduct, then send him off. But he doesn't do anything to impact Clivert for that move. Like, if he does it or he doesn't, it doesn't make any difference to where Wolves get the ball and score to. And it's just so frustrating that we do this every week. And, we had a good spell for about 3 months where we didn't have any VAR chat on the show, which was nice.
A lot of
tough
games, that was.
Yeah, we did have a few international breaks. But you're right, it makes it so hard. And, if you're in the stand, obviously it's so much harder because you don't know what's going on. You're not privy to the replays. You're not privy to the conversations. And, there's been lots of talk of, well, what would you need VAR to be? And for me, it's like, make sure you can hear what they're saying, at least. It happens in other sports, with the offsides, and not necessarily with the Kilman one. And I get it, because he was, a literal arse hair offside. That's not the reason why offside exists, isn't to stop that kind of goal.
It's to be 10 yards offside.
Yeah, it's to stop someone from goal hanging, isn't it?
That's what it was invented in the first place.
Yeah.
It's just to stop people goal hanging.
And now we're kind of at a point where it's like, I'm sorry, you you're a size 12 foot here. And unfortunately, you your toes are offside. And I don't quite know how, the footballing community pulls it back, because I've watched championship games this season. Obviously, they don't have VAR, and you see some decisions just, it might be a cheeky offside goal or whatever. But they have managed to make the problem worse rather than make it better in terms of being able to officiate a game of football. And even, they've tried new stuff, and I don't know, something does need to change. And I don't necessarily agree with, Nottingham Forest coming out and putting, their owner tweeting on behalf of the company. But they need to work out a better way of doing it, because at the moment it is not working for the fans. And ultimately that's who it's for.
I don't know what the solution is other than get rid of it for me.
I can it tomorrow. I'll just get rid. I can sort of get on board with the offsides if it's semi-automated.
Yeah.
I can sort of do that. And even like the Kilman one yesterday, it looked offside. The linesman flagged it offside.
Yeah.
It was confirmed. So that one, okay, yeah, it's annoying. But that I don't mind, because if VAR wasn't even in the ground, that goal still wouldn't have stood.
No.
And he still would have been a tiny bit offside.
And you're right. He looked offside. Yeah. Right.
I don't know, because it's just so boring. That's what it is for me. It's so boring and so deflating. Like, what has happened to football? Like, is that what it's come to now? And like I say, it's so microscopic. And the thing is, like you say, like all VAR, it's VAR's not the issue, but VAR is then, if that's in a normal game, that goal stands yesterday. But VAR has brought out that issue. It's highlighted that issue for me. And that is the problem. It's took the game away from the fans, and it's just criminal. It's criminal what has happened to football.
I completely agree with Josh. I think I like genuinely might lose a generation of fans, or like fans who actually want to go to games and watch it.
Mm.
Because if you're a kid, what are you going to do now? Like when a goal goes in, you're just going to wait, sit on your chair for a little bit, and just wait for a screen to tell you if it's, you know, you might as well just have a red or green bloody screen and just it goes red or green when
you might as well sit out. You might as well sit out and watch it down, because at least you can see what's going on. You know, it's just...
I mean, for something like that, like last night as well, I mean, you may as well just bring in like little things like, oh, was it actually a goal kick about before that even move started two minutes ago?
Yeah.
If you want to re-referee the game to that extent, do it for every single decision then. And it's football's not an art. Football's not a science. It's an art. And it's just been micromanaged to such an extent that it's getting absolutely ruined. And didn't Sweden come out and say they're not going to have it? I know it's not a massive league, but I think they've said no, we don't want it. And the fans have voted against it. I think I saw that before we went on air, but I might be wrong. But I'm sure I think it's a Swedish FA.
As well, for me, it's how fucking insulting is that to Atwell, as much as he is a twat. How insulting is that to Atwell to send into the monitor and go, you did not see that in a crowd of five players and there's a fucking linesman there.
Yeah.
Hey, what you're saying is so insulting to the referee and the linesman that you're basically calling him incompetent by sending to the monitor, by going, you did not see that. And there's a linesman right there. He's standing 10 yards away from me. It's disrespectful to the officials as well. Disrespectful.
Atwell could do have some bollocks and just go against it. He hasn't got any bollocks because he didn't go against anything on the Sunday game, did he? So, I mean, that's been proven. Have some balls about you, for Christ's sake.
I really wanted to, I wasn't bothered about losing to Luton now, but I'd love to fucking beat Luton and fucking stitch over Atwell.
Yeah.
It's what you fucking want. Like a 90th minute VAR bullshit goal in our favour. That would be the dream.
Yeah. I mean, we've kind of talked about the Kilman offside and, it looked offside, even though it was quite, you know, ended up being pretty marginal when it kind of came down to it. But it's that whole body position thing, and it's one of them. I guess the other kind of quick final talking point on the game was the Bournemouth red card. I thought it was a red card. It felt like it took a while to get there. Were you two both sort of fairly convinced in it being a red, or do you think it was just like a hard yellow?
Yeah, it sort of sits in between, doesn't it? I think. I didn't give a shit at that point. I can understand why it's given as a red, and I can understand why it wasn't overturned. But again, if it had been a yellow, I wouldn't have been surprised either. I think, is it excessive force? I think they probably would have used for that one.
Yeah.
Because he did go in pretty hard. I don't think he was over the top of the ball, though. It's one of them. Someone in the in-between shots.
I kind of echo it. I think Tivao's behind it. To me, it kind of looked like he jumped into it, and straight away, obviously, you've already suffered injustice. You're thinking, well, that's got, you know, red card. But I think it's one of them. If he'd have given a yellow, it's not getting upgraded to a red, and given a red, they're not downgrading that to a yellow. But I think if they'd have had a overturn that, I think you genuinely would have seen Chanel or Wolves, like, someone would have been on the pitch the fucking lot, you know. It's because I think everyone's head was gone completely then.
Yeah, part of me thinks it would have just been amazing. Like, see it get overturned, or if we had something else. But also, I mean, it was at breaking point at that point anyway. Look, it ties up nicely for the weekend, doesn't it? We're back at Molineux. We are against Luton, of course. I don't quite know how I feel about it at the moment. I'm really hoping something happens in like the next, 36 hours that just gets everyone going again. To really kind of just galvanise this team, all the players step up, you know, maybe Kuna and Hwang are fit from the start and can play together, and we can have a consistent and balanced lineup, and we can really give the fans something to cry about. Because, you know, you look at our last four games on paper now, and it's, you know, Luton at home, Man City away, Palace at home, Liverpool away. Now, Luton are fighting for their lives, and obviously they had a shocking result at the weekend. But they'll be looking at balls at the moment and going, if we can just make life awkward for them for 30, 40, 50, and keep making it frustrating for Wolves, that's going to get their belief right up there, in my opinion. This is an advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. We all carry different stresses, big and small. It could be from work, stuff going on at home, or just from supporting a football team you flatter to deceive, and as the bed sheets have always said, let us down. We often bottle up these stresses and try and keep a lid on, but when you do that, it can start to affect you negatively. That's where therapy comes in. It gives you a place to get these things off your chest, get down to root cause, and figure out how to work through what's weighing you down. Therapy is there to help develop positive coping skills. It's not just for people who have experienced major trauma. It's about empowering you to be the best version of yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not look and give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners can get 10% off their first month using the code betterhelp.com/wanderers. That's betterhelp.com/wanderers. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll try and hit us hard early doors, get the fans to turn. I mean, Edwards knows, doesn't he? You know what the Wolves fans are like enough to realise what he's got to do to make that happen. I think I'm going to struggle. You've got Hwang, who's played 90 minutes. You've got Aitnori, who's played 90 minutes. Samedo's played 90 minutes. And I'm adamant that pretty much all those players were rested for Arsenal. I think they could have played if they wanted to, but O'Neill's rested him, so he could try and get something out of Bournemouth. And I think he's probably kept most of them on the pitch longer than he wanted to last night. And again, they've looked on their arse, you know, the last few weeks as it is, and then they've had 90 minutes in their legs, looting afresh. So, and we know what happens with the Wolves and shit teams, so the signs don't look good, to be honest.
No, everything's going against us at this point. Josh, how about you, mate?
It's just one of them. I think if you're Luton now, I wouldn't say like you're coming for Stratus. I think you come at us, because especially the sort of forward that they're going to like play with, like Colton Morris, is the exact sort of fucking striker who'll bully Kilman within an inch of his life sort of thing, you know what I mean? So, so you're going to come and you're going to think, right, what Atlantis is. And I think if you're Luton and you kind of look at Bournemouth the other day, Edwards was there, you're going to think, I tell you what, come at them early. You got Atlanta going 2-0 up before Wolves even start playing. So, but you just know what's going to happen, don't you? You just know we're going to lose 1-0 to like an 85th minute Colton Morris goal or something like that.
I mean, I am worried about the, you know, we've been bemoaning the lack of the back five yesterday, but with Santi Bueno injured, I mean, we're looking at potentially a back, you know, a centre-half pairing of Toti Gomez and Kilman, which doesn't exactly fill me with confidence. Or do you kind of decide, do you brave putting Matt Doherty at, you know, right centre-half? Neither sounds particularly fun. And Tom, your face is exactly screaming enthusiasm for the situation.
Well, yeah, what choice have you got? Yeah, I don't even know what I'd do. You've got to have three. If you're doing four at the back, you've got to have, you know, three up top. You can't just flood the midfield and have two, because it just doesn't work for us. I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing Aitnori further up the pitch. He didn't get in the game anywhere near enough for me last night. So you could put Bueno in and play Aitnori further up if he's got the legs to do it.
he still looked like he was struggling, didn't he?
Fitness-wise,
to really, like, which I get and I understand it, but it don't half make our. Just play Hugo Bueno then. If he ain't fit, just, you know, I can cope. Just don't, like, let's not just wheel these players out until they're absolutely fucking shacked. Like, it's not hard, in my opinion. But, I mean, having a look at the league table for Wolves first and foremost, there is a real possibility we're going to end up 14th, isn't it?
Yeah, with our real Palace of hits and form, haven't they? You know, I think 6 points, absolute best, is what we'll get. But I think we'll do very, very well to get anywhere close to that, to be honest, on current form.
I think if Fidel wins Saturday, we will win a game for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I think you can see us, like, beat... The best we're going to get is beat Luton, draw to Palace, and win, obviously lose the other two. Not going to get any better than that, I'll be really. I'll be very surprised.
No.
Yeah.
You know, it's so frustrating as well, like, West Ham are in eighth, like the right by the European places. That's we haven't won in what, 7 games, and look how close we are to, like, the edge of Europe, and bang on the 10 at the minimum 10 points VAR rails us. The season did not deserve to end like this. It did not deserve this ending for me, and that's what's so sad about it.
Yeah, agreed.
We never get that bit of fairy tale look, do we, really, Wolves? It's never goes our way.
And I said to my dad as we were walking out the ground, I said, if you'd have just, like, padded out the results a bit more, I think everyone would be so much more optimistic.
Yeah.
You know, with the season ahead, it's just for it to be like, you know, we had all our good results almost too early. And then it's just, you know, everyone's just
can't wait literally for Bruno Lodge.
It is the same situation. Yeah, I'd like to hope O'Neill's got a bit more about him than Large.
I think the thing is, I think under Large, you could feel the malaise setting within the fans at the end of that season. I mean, I remember at the time I was saying I didn't think he'd done enough to deserve another season. Whereas, like, with O'Neill, I think everyone's so sympathetic to the situation. The way he joined, obviously, you know, let's not go over it because we know the story. But you know what I mean? I think everyone's so much more sympathetic to him than now. It's not O'Neill's fault as such, you know.
And there's still reason
to be more optimistic.
Yeah. Bruno Ball was pretty boring, let's face it. At least, yeah, exactly. So at least O'Neill's playing, you know, a better brand of football. So we can keep him and... I'm very optimistic about Fosun, but who knows? Maybe that'll change.
It's one that, like I said earlier, like, what, there was nothing last night. The VAR goes our way with the Huang goal. They get their red card. There was nothing stopping us winning that game. And that's the fine margins that have done us over all season.
Yeah. Because I think if we were at 1-1 against 10 men, you could feel that. You could feel that being a sliding doors moment in the game, and it then didn't quite come. And because we aren't at quite our best, it felt like because we didn't get that Huang goal, it was going to be a real struggle to get another one of those moves. It just all fell apart, didn't it? A few interesting games coming up that I say impact us / bottom of the table. You've got West Ham, Liverpool, Fulham, Palace, Man U, Burnley, Newcastle, Sheffield United, Everton, Brentford will be a interesting one. It'll be a god awful game of football, but we helped to find a week in the shaft. Villa versus Chelsea, Bournemouth, Brighton, North London Derby, and Forest versus Man City. So, I mean, you've got almost one of those. I quite like this kind of weekend in the Premier League or towards the end of the season because, like, obviously there's still so much riding on it. And, like, you've got an interesting situation, like, at the bottom of the table where most of the teams in, like, the bottom four could all lose. So, like, nothing really changes. And it only takes one of them, Luton, to actually do something to really make a difference. I mean, I know in terms of us, Brighton, playing this evening. In terms of, you know, as of time of recording, they're currently losing 4-0 to Man City.
So
I think Man City are kind of hitting that end of season stride well and truly now.
It was so inevitable. It's sort of a shame. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't really want Arsenal or Liverpool to win the league, to be honest, but it'd be nice to take it into the final game. It might still go that way, but it's just the writing's already on the trophy for me for City. And it had been a few weeks ago, really.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was quite joyful seeing Liverpool lose 2-0 yesterday to Everton, though. That was the only thing that made the defeat a bit more tolerable, to see them just, you know, completely shit themselves.
I think that's genuinely, and I mean this very genuinely now, when did they last beat them? Before yesterday, Everton. Not the lockdown season.
No, it's been a while.
It's been 15 years plus. It's the first time in my lifetime I can remember Everton beating Liverpool and it not be in the lockdown season.
Wow.
That's how fucking rare it is.
It's mad. King
Dad. That's what it feels like. I was genuinely, I was like,
the great one. I'm sure I saw somebody on a group chat refer to him as the great one earlier today. And I let it slide because I was in and out of meetings. I'm going to need to pull it. I will. But him rocking out in a tracksuit. Just.
I respect it. 100% win rate in the tracksuit.
Absolute business.
Yeah. It's going to be like that all season now.
It is. It's going to be a good weekend of football, even if the Wolves game ain't all that. But, hey, look, we've got four games to the end of the season. Hopefully Wolves can string something together and end the season on a positive note and it not just end up with, you know, 11 without a win or however it's going to end up being. Yeah, it could end up being that way. It's,
cheers, Rich.
You know, you look at... I don't think I've included it on the graphic, but you look at the form. I think only Sheffield, in the last like five games, I think only Sheffield United have got worse form than us.
That's depressing.
Yeah. I'll leave you with that one. Be fine. Hey, look, Pedro Neto will be back for like one game. Get himself in the shop window for Euros.
All the way. He'll score the winner.
Score the winner, then get a move to him in the summer.
Yeah.
And then it'll be disallowed by the...
Yeah. For a Liverpool player being offside.
Yeah.
That'll be my prediction, is that Wolves will be the only team to get an offside against them because of an opposition player in the other half or something like that.
We should start doing like... a thing like what next is going to screw we'll get all screwed out by VAR. Like, what magic thing are they going to invent that screws us out of the next?
I think it's going to be something equipment based, so like shin pad, like some like shin pads. Or now, is the ball pumped up enough there? And that's what's going to pull it back. Yeah,
linesman drops his flag on the pitch.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't have an outside object on the pitch when a goal is in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be all, I don't know, something like, I don't think what, some outrageous, like, we'll have like a stonewall penalty and the equipment will stop working. Like, it'll stop working, man. Like, oh, we've lost connection to the VAR hub.
Yeah, well, that'll be Anfield as well. It'll be Anfield again on the equipment.
It'll be Anfield decision
stands. Yeah.
Oh, gee, it just because only happened to
us. Exactly.
We will be back on Sunday to talk about Wolves versus Luton. But make sure you keep up to date with all things Wolves Fancast. In the meantime, it's at Wolves Fancast here, there, and everywhere. Of course, make sure you check out all the stuff we're putting out regarding our charity football match happening on the 24th of May as well. Until next time, though, it's goodbye from Tom.
See you guys.
It's goodbye from Josh.
Keep the faith.
It's goodbye from me. See you next time.